like this man go from 0 to 100 off a drop of a dime. Somebody just randomly passed him by in the hallway and dropped his books in front of him. Yeah. Oh, so you just gonna pick your stuff up and leave like my father? Like, dang, bro. Like,
oh my goodness.
Oh man. Emotional. Yeah, man. I understand. I get you, brother, man. I get you, Spencer. Nobody else understands. I understand. It's your emotional hands.
It is Good Friday, and you are now listening to episode 12 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, of course, joined by my brother remotely, because we have always social distance during this podcast. My brother Dane, how you doing, man?
I'm pretty good, and put an asterisk next to that. We've always social distance, because it's for the most part of social distance. Kidding. Yeah. Totally kidding. Definitely been mindful of the regulations and suggestions by our respective counties as well as the state, and of course on federal level as well. So here we are.
And it's been what, 3 weeks? I feel like it's been 3 weeks, probably. I think it's like 21, 22 days, something like that. And I actually
lost count.
You know Frank Caliendo, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you saw his Twitter. He's been making funny Twitter quarantine videos.
The Avengers one?
Yeah,
I seen that.
That was so funny. It was like perfect. If y'all haven't seen that, go check out Frank Caliendo on Twitter. He does impersonations and stuff, and he did one similar to the opening of Avengers Endgame, but kind of geared towards how the quarantine is right now. It's really, really funny.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
But man, it's, kind of been the same routine like we mentioned before we started recording. You know, wake up, take care of family and work duties, Zoom meetings you may have. And shoot, for both of us, it's been watching Netflix and eating and video games and staying in the house. I think it was like 2 days ago we took our dogs on a walk.
Nice.
In the neighborhood. And
a little exercise in there, huh?
Yeah, a little fresh air. And, everybody was, it was like a lot of people in the neighborhood walking their dogs, and just like people are all in the same boat or trying to, you know, manage and cope the best way they can with this thing. And we're trying to do this. And hopefully if you're listening, this will help you get through staying at home and, you know, having something to do, listening to us, and hopefully we can give you some type of entertainment and comfort during this time, man.
Something. Hopefully you get something to distract yourself from the chaos that is overtaking, or if not has already overtaken your mental.
So. Yeah, because it could definitely take a toll. Like, I found myself, maybe a few days ago, just like, man, this is, and I think we talked about this last episode, just it's like a weird, weird dream where you wake up and you think, is this real? And like, we're walking or going through like a movie script, acting out scenes, but it's real life stuff. So hopefully everyone out there. Yeah, man. Hopefully everyone out there is staying safe and continuing to abide by the orders given in your particular area so we can get back to how things were, where we can go out and not have to worry about, you know, catching this crazy virus. So one particular organization, Dane, that's, you know, still going to business, and we talked about it last week, was the NFL. The draft is coming up in 2 weeks on April 23rd. And with social distancing and stay-at-home orders, the commissioner announced that the draft is going to be all virtual, all technology draft.
Wow.
It's definitely unprecedented. And I'm just going to read a little bit from the article. that I have from NFL.com.
For sure.
It says, Commissioner Roger Goodell informed all 32 NFL clubs that the 2020 NFL draft would proceed in a fully virtual format in a memo sent out Monday obtained by NFL Network's Tom Pelissero. Hopefully I pronounced his name right. League and club facilities. I probably did. League and club facilities are set to remain closed indefinitely to ensure the NFL is in compliance with current regulations due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And therefore, clubs were advised to prepare to conduct the draft outside of their facilities. What else is this saying? The league informed a group of general managers proceeding with plans for a virtual draft during a conference call Friday. Monday's news is the latest adjustments to how the draft will operate as the country continues to feel effects of the new coronavirus.
So let me get this straight. We went from having a regular draft to having the draft on some sort of aquatic arena where rookies would be able to take a boat to the draft stage. And then we went from that to virtually having a draft where we have these, 50, 60, 70-year-old old guys and some women drafting from the comforts of their own home.
Yep.
And we're going to fully anticipate that there aren't any type of IT-related network issue, lag, rubber banding, just losing internet. Like, we're completely going on. This is uncharted territory.
We're in 2020, man. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to work out perfectly fine. And it's funny you mentioned that because that was my next segue. I was going to talk about how a lot of coaches and executives came out and said they were worried about being hacked, worried about, you know, delays and lags, and even worried about IT people in their house because you're supposed to be social distancing. And so far the NFL hasn't said anything about that. They're just like
going full force, bullheaded, and all signs are pointing towards, as much as I love the draft, all signs are pointing towards maybe we should just go ahead and postpone this. That way, I don't know, you don't ruin the lives of a few hundred players for the sake of keeping things on schedule.
Yeah.
Because this... go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's... At this point, and I think we talked about it last episode, it's the NFL is kind of taking advantage of being the only team in the spotlight as far as operations are going. And, I mean, I just see it as them, hey, we're the only sport moving on right now. This will look good as far as exposure to our league. We think we're the best league in all of sports. So let's put on a show for people at home, which in a way, like you said, I would love to see the draft. You know, there's nothing else going on. We talked about that. I would love to see the draft. But at the same time, man, it's a lot of hiccups. I hope, Dane, that we're proven wrong on this. I just hope there's not any hiccups, man.
It's misguided.
It's a lot of stuff that can happen.
It's misguided. So I'm gonna hit you with a brief tangent. So I'm sure you've heard about it, but the NFL is partnering with EA Sports with the virtual moments for each of the prospects to walk out and meet the commish, right? Mm-hmm. You know about that. Okay, so they're also tagging along with that. They're giving or donating in the name of each draftee $2,000 to a high school football program of their choice. In my head, I'm like, one, the donation is great. That's 100% fine. I've never donated money to a high school football program, so there's that. Let me throw myself out there real quick before I proceed with my criticism of this. I think the money probably be better off going somewhere else because one, I mean, I don't know of any high school footballs that would benefit from the donation right now. I mean, it might be better off going towards, I don't know, feeding some of those kids who might be in unfortunate situation where they're not afforded the opportunity to eat, you know, three meals a day. That might be a bit of a stretch there. I know it sounds kind of weird, but it just seems very, it seems very misguided.
Mm-hmm.
It just,
Well, let me play a little devil's advocate. A little devil advocate over here. So I'm going to read a little bit from this memo and try to see what the, what he's coming from, where he's coming from. And by he, I mean Commissioner Goodell.
Roger.
The memo that was sent out. Yeah, that guy, Mr. Roger. In the memo that was sent out to the NFL teams, in response to developing conditions and the advice of medical public health experts, authorities at all levels of government have expanded the scope and extended the duration of orders requiring residents to shelter in place. As you know, our offices have been closed since March 13, and all club facilities have been closed since March 26. Because of these circumstances, clubs have been advised to prepare to conduct the 2020 draft entirely outside of their facilities in a fully virtual format with club personnel in separate locations. So the different, everybody's not supposed to be together. They're supposed to be in their own home, right? We have made the decision for several reasons, drafting remotely, all clubs will not have access to their facilities, which is contrary to the fundamental equity principle that all clubs operate in a consistent and fair way. There was another thing. Okay, he says, and I'm skipping down a little bit. Accordingly, all clubs should dedicate their personnel and technology resources toward preparing for a fully virtual draft for personnel in separate locations. Our staff in events, football operations, IT, and the management council will be in contact with each club and remains fully available to answer questions or assist in your preparations. Our understanding that many clubs are already well advanced preparing for a virtual draft, and we are confident that all clubs can take the necessary steps to make the 2020 draft a successful event. I have spoken to many of you in the past several days and recognize the challenges facing all of us. We are operating in an environment unlike anything we have ever experienced before, one that requires flexibility, patience, and cooperation. As we work through these challenges together, we should not lose sight of the magnitude of this global health crisis, of the extraordinary work of first responders, healthcare workers, and so many others, of the growing number of Americans in need of assistance and who lost family and friends of this virus. And I thought he was going to mention, I thought it was in here, but I know also that the draft is like all the proceeds and stuff, and there is going towards the relief efforts for the virus.
As they should.
As they should. And I just think that, in his mind, he's seeing it, one, of course, as an opportunity to grow the NFL brand. And I think that he, how can I fairly word this?
Take your time.
In an unprecedented time where people, you know, don't have their normalcy of their jobs, their professions. A lot of people are losing jobs, families are losing their lives. We don't have sports. And this, I don't know what he's thinking, but in my mind, I believe he's saying, hey, people don't have sports.
We're the only hope.
Having this draft is like bringing some type of normalcy to the world, helping people get through this. That's me being devil's advocate here. So maybe he's on that spectrum of him trying to ease the mind of people everywhere with, you know, this crazy thing going on. But hey, they're pushing forward with it right now. It's been a lot of pushback, but right now, as of April 10th, it's still going on next week or in 2 weeks. So, like you said, Dane, hopefully, I mean, we love the draft. We love sports, obviously. We're just thinking about how it's kind of it's going to be difficult to pull this off, but
it is.
It's going to be difficult with no type of hiccups coming about.
And that's just considering the tech part of it.
Right.
We haven't even touched on the surface of the complete evaluation of the players because of, you know, the pro days being canceled, not having, you know,
how do you feel about that? Cause I'm sitting, I'll say this real quick. I'm sitting here watching Colin Cowherd. A lot of people feel a way about Colin Cowherd. I like him because he always says what he, you know,
he says even if it's completely wrong and misinformed and misguided.
But I will agree with him on this thing he actually just mentioned on his show, and I'm kind of plugging his show in here. But he was talking about how Tua's workout came, or they had his little video workout. Have you heard about that?
The virtual pro day. A lot of the pro day, or a lot of the clips from his pro day, they've been posted within the last few hours. I think there's only one issue with that. The concern has never been with his play. The concern has always been with his medicals. And I guess since, you know, him being cleared to throw and everyone just, you know, watching his drop back and the way he processes things going on, that's never been anyone's concern. Oh, well, let me back. That's never been my concern. We always knew the dude could play. It's just the fact of if he's going to come back, what percentage of himself is he going to be? Anything like that. But I don't think it's surprising he balled out during the virtual pro day that he did have, like, you know.
Right. And I'll piggyback off what you said about his health. I feel like personally, like, it's such a crapshoot. It's very random. And what I mean by that is, like, you had quarterbacks come in the league with no history of health problems, like in college, high school. And in NFL, they get hit, and then now they're injury prone. For, like, example, Matthew Stafford. Didn't have any injury problems in college, high school. Yeah, and now he's been hurt the last 2, 3, 4 years. And then another big example is Andrew Luck. Yeah. He didn't have any injuries coming into college or coming into the league from college. And then what? He retired early because of injuries. So,
and you brought up two very important things. Those two quarterbacks, God-given talent, probably Matthew Stafford, probably one of the best arm talents in the league. And then, of course, Andrew Luck having the pedigree that he had coming out of Stanford. Those two organizations did a piss poor job of surrounding them with talent. And more than anything, Detroit, who has a history of, you know, being very horrible as far as player management is concerned, at team building, I feel bad for him more than anything because he's had seasons where he's done phenomenal things, and because they didn't have a run game, or because there's way one too many passing attempts to try to shield or protect from putting their defense out on the field, way too many chances for him to, you know, go on and do big things in the playoffs. But all those things fell short in the wild card because of incompetency, you know.
And as far as like going back to Tua, like, what's the difference? I know you would, as a scout, you want to see the guy in person. But what's the difference? I mean, I know there is a difference, but like, how is this any different from seeing his tape when you scout him on film? Like, I seen people argue, like, man, you like a pro day, virtual pro day doesn't make sense because, you know, we can't see the guy in person. Maybe a 40 time might be a different. You can't see the 40 time, but like what he can do on film, throw the ball, you can see that.
I think for anybody, for those one, here's the first thing. The scouting of a quarterback and seeing how his play in college, how it translates to NFL, it still is not consistent. In the NFL today, April the 10th, there is no type of general manager, no type of owner that can tell you, oh, these are the traits that are going to transfer 100% to the next level. When you take that in consideration with the fact that him coming off of whatever is, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I can't remember if this is an ankle or a hip surgery that he had this time.
Well, this last one was hip, but he hurt his ankle too. He hurt his wrist. No, for real, he hurt his wrist, ankle, and this last one where he was bad, like real bad. That was his hip.
Because I couldn't remember. I was like, wait a minute. Am I? And it, like you said, the days are starting to run together. His injury is starting to run together. I don't care that he's been injured. My concern is, or the point I'm trying to make here is, I think the people, the scouts, are trying to figure out, is he wincing during his throws? Is there any type of hesitancy when he's dropping back? You know, those three fives, those rollouts. Like, what is he look? Is it looking unnatural? You know, is, you know, the throwing motion, because he's a left-handed guy, so it's a little bit different trying to evaluate that, anyways, because of the way that the ball spins off his hand. So, how does that look for him? You know, is it looking forced? Is he, you know, when they're looking at I'm assuming this is what they're looking at from the pro day, not to see if it proves anything different from the tape, but just to see what does he look like throwing the ball. Does he look like one of those actors in a Netflix show trying to throw a ball? Is the big question. Oh, Lord.
So. All American. My God. I still got to get through season 2. Don't tell me.
Yeah, I can say that.
God, I hate. They got to work on that. Golly.
But you know, crazy thing is, he played receiver. He was a.
No way.
No, dead serious. He was a receiver in high school, and he was on a track scholarship to Indiana State.
Jordan.
Jordan played receiver, so he's I'm just out of position on the show.
Spencer on them route, yeah. Bro. He
Well, he was a basketball player.
They probably play more soccer. Probably play more soccer in over there where he's from. So,
and plus that, I know a scene you're talking about, the scene where he ran the curl route.
Yeah,
in his defense, he had on. He had a regular tennis shoes. Like, nah, homie, bro, didn't have any cleats on. He had regular tennis shoes.
I can't, man. I can't. I take it with.
Oh my god.
Oh man, that's funny.
Cool. Yeah, man. Everybody left me. I'm here fending for myself.
Man, did you retweet? No, somebody.
Yeah,
liked
yeah. I seen. I know what Vinny talking about.
One where he working out
the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. To the T. Like, this man go from 0 to 100 off a drop of a dime. Somebody just randomly passed him by in the hallway and dropped his books in front of him. Yeah. Oh, so you just going to pick your stuff up and leave like my father? Like, dang, bro.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Emotional. Damn, man. I understand. I get you, brother, man. I get you, Spencer. Nobody else understands. I understand. It's your emotional hand.
That's
okay,
funny.
My bad. How do we even get on that?
I don't know. That was funny,
I don't
though.
Remember.
So yeah, right now the draft is still going on. We'll see what changes. And right before we started this podcast, Dan, tweet came out from Woj that the NBA teams are trying to reunite and push the NBA draft back. And the NBA draft is usually in June, I believe, and they're trying to push it back no earlier than August. So we'll see how that goes, man.
Crazy,
the
crazy.
COVID-19 is still having a big impact everywhere. So we'll see how that shakes out. Since our last episode, Dane, the NFL and the Pro Football Hall of Fame announced 52 players and 2 head coaches selected to the 2010 All-Decade Team. And I am just going to list both the offense, defense, and the coaches. All right?
Please do.
And then I'll have a few questions for you after that.
Please, I'm ready.
So offense, we got the 2 quarterback slots, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Running back, Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson. Receivers, Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones. Flex position, Darren Sproles. 2 tight ends, Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce. Offensive tackles, Jason Peters, Tyron Smith, Joe Staley, Joe Thomas. Guards, Jaire Evans, Logan Mankin, Zach Martin, Marshall Yandy. Centers, Alex Mack and Marquise Pouncey. On the defensive side, Calais Campbell, Cameron Jordan at DN, also Julius Peppers and J.J. Watt. Tackles, Geno Atkins, Fletcher Cox, Aaron Donald, and Ndamukong Suh. Linebackers, Chandler Jones, Luke Kuechly, Khalil Mack, Von Miller, Bobby Wagner, Patrick Willis. Corners, Patrick Peterson, Darrell Revis, Richard Sherman. Safeties, Eric Berry, Earl Thomas, Eric Weddle. Also DBs, Chris Harris Jr., Tyrann Mathieu. Specialists, punter, Johnny Hecker, Shane Leckler. Kickers, Steven Gotkowski, Justin Tucker. Punt returners, Tyreek Hill, Darren Sproles. Kick returner, Devin Hester, Cordell Patterson. And then coaches, Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. That is a lot of people. And I'm trying to think. Okay, so my mind has to go back to the beginning of 2010. And I'm seeing some of these names. I was like, dang, were they that dominant? And one that stands out to me on the offensive side of the ball, and you can correct me because I don't, honestly, I don't have the stats in front of me like that.
Yeah, I got you.
One that stands out to me on the offensive side of the ball, and I'm looking again, is LeSean McCoy and Travis Kelce. I felt like Travis Kelce was dominant like the last 3 years, but I don't know about a whole decade. But that's just me.
That's the thing, bro. I don't know if there's a set metric or criteria that they use to determine, you know, who made the list and how they made the list.
I'm going to read it from here. It says, the NFL and the Pro Football Hall of Fame have announced the 52 players and two head coaches selected to the 2010 All-Decade Team. Tom Brady, starting now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was one of just eight players unanimously voted to the squad. For the full list of honorees, check out the bottom of this file, which we just did. Oh, I thought it was going to tell me how they voted on it.
There's a lot, though, bro. There's so much. And I hate to be a negative Nancy about it, and but dang, bro. Like, they've got so much stuff wrong. No, you're good, bro. Like, and I didn't even notice this.
My boy Peyton Manning off. What the hell? Okay, yeah.
That's cool.
Peyton Manning, nah, bro.
I thought we were going to say something for real, for real. Like, the fact that there are no, you know, I don't know, right tackles on the list.
Oh, they all left tackles?
I guess because
what I would argue, just me arguing for the sake of it, is them seeing as the left tackle is the, for the most part, for right-handed quarterbacks, the blind side. But
true, but there's no balance.
Go ahead.
There's no balance at all. Like that's one thing. The second thing is how they went about categorizing the defensive linemen / linebackers. Like, some of those guys are strictly edge rushers, and I get it. It's just terminology, but in being so vague with the descriptions of the defenders, you're able to lump so many people in there that don't have a defined position. You don't have a defined position. You can say that, oh, this person has such a position flex. This is why they made the all decade team. And it's like, that's kind of unfair because
I cut you off, but I'm trying to figure out how they voted on this.
It doesn't make any sense. It's just, it seems like a mix between dominant players, which is great. Dominant players should be on there. If you dominated for a 10-year period, you should be on the list. It seems like a mix of dominant players, people who get a lot of, I guess, popularity that plays a role in it. Not necessarily playing in a lot of or consistently playing 15, 16 game seasons, and then just, this looks like this fits there. Because a common argument that you see anytime you have your wide receivers or running backs there, that's always going to be a tough one, because if you pull up the stat comparisons for people who are left off the list, you could, you know, mix and match a few of those guys.
Am I wrong for thinking Peyton Manning should be over Aaron Rodgers?
Because we don't have a defined metric. Yeah. We don't have a defined metric that says this person should be over this person. If this list were up to you, and I know I'm getting off topic, but what metrics would you use to place your guy over Drew, or not Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers? Because the one that the very
Super
common,
Bowl rings.
The most common. Okay.
Appearances. And then I don't have the stats in front of me, so I don't want to act like I'm talking out the side of my mouth, but I feel like when he retired, he owned almost all the passing records.
But I think,
go ahead.
One of the hardest things, and we talked about earlier, evaluating quarterbacks is really hard. But I think when you're talking about dominance or what makes one quarterback better than another, there's too many metrics to consider. You have, and this is not even, well, you have the yards, the most passing yards. You have the touchdowns. You have passing efficiency.
Yeah.
You have all these types of things. But one thing that we can't account for, it's something you just can't really account. And then the unfortunate thing about placing quarterback wins or placing team wins on quarterbacks, like there's some philosophical differences about that one, but it's hard to do when you have, when you're Drew Brees and your defense historically has been awful.
And you only get to pick two quarterbacks on this list too. That makes it even tougher.
Which doesn't make any sense at all, but that's, and one thing that did show up a lot was the All-Pro selections, first team All-Pro selections. That appeared a lot. Super Bowl appearances appear a lot, which is, of course, is also a team stat, but that's neither here or there. But it's just, okay. I don't know.
You know what, Dane? So I'm going to correct myself. Peyton Manning retired what year?
Shoot, was that
20 after we won the 2016? That's nearly halfway through the decade. So that would make sense why he's not on the list. And then I'm reading this article and he was on the 2000s. Yeah, he was on the 2000s decade team. So last year's decade team was Tom and Peyton. So that makes more sense. I'm coming back to my senses. I'm correcting myself. I understand why Peyton wasn't on this list.
The one that I've seen a lot was Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. That's the comparison. Yeah,
that makes more sense.
I didn't even think about Peyton Manning until you brought it up. Not to say it was valid or invalid or not, but that's the one I've seen.
That makes more sense.
Another one that I saw was, well, that was probably the most entertaining one because I didn't have a dog in the fight. Aaron Rodgers just sent my team packing home multiple times. I have no reason to be on his side. And then, of course, there's the Drew Brees angle, which I don't have any reason to be on his side either because Saints, but if I'm picking, I guess there has to be a standard, a standard that across the board that you would say, okay, this person met this, so this
maybe
person
they're make maybe it. They're just taking it all into account and just going based off that stats, rings, impact, MVP, like how valuable they are to the team. It's just I feel like if they clarified that, it would give us more of a overall, feeling like, okay, that's why they picked this person here. But to just throw it out here,
it's such a flawed argument, though, bro. Because
watch the game and enjoy the game.
But another thing I thought about or seen was the argument of the flex role on the All Decade team with Sproles, making it. Some people were pissed off because Matt Forte didn't make it over Sproles, which I can see their argument.
With this decade, Matt Forte?
Yeah, 2010 to 2017.
I ain't heard Matt Forte name in like two, I ain't heard his name in like 4 years.
Yeah, they got a point, but I don't know. I guess because of the versatility or just the amount of yardage that Matt Forte amassed over Darren Sproles. But then when you think about the type of role that Darren Sproles had in the return team and as far as being a receiver, during the decade, Sproles amassed for 10,000 or so return yards, where, of course, Matt Forte did not have any return yards because he's just an offensive guy for the most part.
Maybe that flex is more towards all purpose as receiver, punt returner. I guess they put all that together.
But then again, my response to that argument was I assumed that the flex position didn't take into account return yards. So
cuz they got specialists right here, right?
Exactly. So I don't know. But they, I guess the point of it all is, and I guess it's just good for us right now, everyone right now, yeah, sports fans, you get to argue about it because we have nothing else to argue about. So,
right.
I don't know.
Exactly. What were you thinking on the defensive side?
Man, what I originally thought, I was hoping to see Cam Chancellor up there, but I mean, as far as impact is concerned on a defense from the last 10 years or so, I was thinking he would, you know, he would have a place on that all-decades team. But when you're thinking about your impact doesn't necessarily have any type of effect on the stat sheet. You know, the actual presence of someone being there.
Since you said Cam Chancellor, would you put Cam Chancellor above any of the safeties that's on here now?
And that's the thing. Me in particular, because we don't have a frame of reference of what they're using to, I guess, quantify what puts a person above another person aside from stats. If you're not looking at stats in particular, if I'm starting a team based off of a person's impact or just how valuable they are to the team, I'm going to have to go with Cam Chancellor, let's say, over a
So at the safety position, we got Barry.
You can take out either of the Erics. Replace it with either
Barry
of the Erics.
Eric Weddle.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I won't argue that.
But my thing is, I guess I'm thinking of the impact the Legion of Boom had on the NFL.
Man, they should have won more than one ring.
Definitely. I mean, it's not their fault. Their coach elected to allow their quarterback to, I don't know if it was an original game plan or was it original play for him coming out of the huddle was a pass or he audibled out of it. I don't know, but they should have won at least one or two.
You know, what's
more,
funny
but.
About that is that coach is on the all-decade team.
Yeah. I mean, deservedly so. When you think about how many college coaches go to the NFL and are successful, that in its own right, he should be on that list. But keeping that team together for as long as he did after they choked that Super Bowl away.
Yeah.
That is impressive in itself. That he didn't lose the locker room. I mean, I'm sure he lost it eventually, but, you know, with Sherman leave. Well, that's more so for contractual reasons, but Sherman leaving and then, you know, Cam Chancellor having to retire. I'm not sure. Did he actually retire or has he just stepped away because of
injury? I'm pretty sure he retired.
Okay. But that defense was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
So
dominant. Man, they did my Broncos dirty that year in the Super Bowl. So.
Yeah. I knew it was over when your boy hit Demaryius Thomas on that drag route and he got smacked first drive. I was like, yeah, this game's over.
Bro, I was at a Super Bowl party. I was the only Bronco fan there. Everybody else was rooting for Seattle and it was
great.
It was probably the worst experience. Yeah, it's probably the worst experience. But that's the decade team. You can check it out on pretty much any sport platform. This article I got it from was NFL.com. So I agree with you on that last part where you mentioned how it's good for debate. And I think that's what many of these lists and stuff are for. So with the quarantine going on and stuff, the Atlanta Falcons and Buccaneers dropped their new threads on the social media for people to judge like us and kind of scope. I'll start with the Bucs, Dane. I like them. It's kind of going back to, you know, how they were before this last change. Not their old creamsicle ones, but the ones after that, what they went to the Super Bowl in that year. I can dig it. I can dig the white on white and the original red on brown or whatever color that is. What color is that? That's not brown. It's
doodle brown. I don't know what color it is.
Brownish gray. And then they got the all brownish grays, whatever that color is. It's like a brownish gold.
It's bray.
Bray. Yeah, we'll call it bray. We'll call it bray. They're nice, clean, smooth. You know, they had to get new jerseys. Well, they were getting new jerseys anyway before Brady came there, but
Still looks sloppy.
Apparently, his
Chris Godwin had that number 12 on still. I mean, I know they probably did the shoot months ago, but
yeah, that's what they said. That's what they said.
I'm picking it apart. Shout out to my boy John Keith on the track for that the video they released. The Buccaneers.
Oh, I ain't even listened to it.
Go ahead, check them out. Keep them on the iTunes or however you listen to your music.
For sure. They're smooth. I mean, I don't have any argument against them. I thought, and everybody else thought they were gonna drop the old school creamsicle ones. Which
those would have
been
bad.
Clean. Yo, you didn't like them?
No, I'm saying bad, like isn't like nice. Sorry, outdated slang.
Okay.
There.
Oh no,
I can't help it. I've been trapped in my house for the past 3 or 4 weeks. Sorry.
Maybe I'm thinking because I don't see them in here. Maybe they still could do some cool creamsicle throwback. I feel like they would. They probably hold them back. They probably could still do that, but
they probably decided or probably can't do it because of, you know, the whole NFL helmet rule, how you can only have one helmet throughout the entire season.
Right.
Of course, that rule is going to come tumbling down in like 1 or 2 years, but that's probably the only reason why. Because think about how they
put it this
way. The uniform changes that the Rams did and how the helmet doesn't really match with the, just think about that times 10. So,
right.
I'm not going to bring up those. God awful jerseys that the Green Bay Packers have.
Oh, those delivery men, UPS type uniforms. Broncos actually have something like that too, that actually UPS guys. But also, the Atlanta Falcons dropped their jerseys with ATL, the abbreviation ATL across the chest.
You mean them 2014 Texas Tech alternate jerseys?
Yeah.
The same gradient style and everything.
A lot of people are ripping up these uniforms, Dane. The one thing I don't like, and I'm kind of scrolling through them, the stripe on the side. I don't like the stripe on the side.
Mm.
But I do like the chrome-like face mask. I don't even know if that's chrome. It looks like chrome. That's my favorite part of this uniform.
Oh yeah, that's the only W right there outside of
And I'm
not saying I don't have anything negative to say about either of the jerseys. It's just when is the right time to reveal new jerseys when your team hasn't been successful? You know, like there is no right time to do that. Like as a general manager, it's like, you know what, we're gonna do these new uniforms. But coach, we just came off of a 3-0. No. But with these new uniforms.
Yeah,
we're gonna sell like hotcakes. We're gonna get new jerseys out there, and like, there's no good time to do it when your team hasn't done anything, you know, worth mentioning. So I don't have anything bad to say about it. It's just funny seeing all these jokes, especially the
28-3 jokes.
Yeah, those jokes. Those are never gonna be out of style. Yeah. Shout out to all the ATL fans out there.
Just thinking about it, bro. And this is going back to that division itself. You got Brady, Matt Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater, and Drew Brees. Like four of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league the past few years, all in the same division.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
You know what? I need to look this up, bro. But with the new playoff system and seven teams making it, can you have four teams make it out of one division now?
Maybe three. I don't statistically.
You've been able to have three before because you can have each division winner and then two out of same division because they're wild card. So now you'll have four division winners and then three wild cards up for grabs. So
we have to hit up one of those analytics nerds off of Twitter to see if they can help us out with that one.
Yeah. I don't know if that was in the rules yet. Like, can every team in the division?
Shout out to all the analytics nerds out there. Love y'all,
man. But yeah, that division is going to be
man,
crazy.
Now you have my brain thinking about what those records, how those records would have. It'd have to be perfect. Like they'd have to split down the middle every single division game, and then
think about it like this. Say the Bucks go. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Just thinking about this. Thinking about it for one team is great. Thinking about it for four teams in the same division is like.
Yeah. Just look. Okay. Say the Bucks go 14-2. Saints go 12-4.
Okay.
Panthers go 10-6. I'm just using an example. And Falcons go 8-8. Okay. If the Falcons are that last team, 8-8, and they have the best record out of the other teams that didn't win their division, say the other teams are like 8-8 or lower. That's hard to, I don't know.
You'd have to expect, I mean, I'd expect to see, probability wise.
Yeah, that's very low.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be, for by all means, Deontay, whenever this whole sports thing gets back to normal, go ahead and drop a, you know, $100 on that money line for everyone within that division to make the playoffs.
I know.
Because do it every year. And then the year that you finally get it, let me know how much money you've lost. And so, yeah, we could talk about that. But by all means, that's just a lot of math, and I'm not in the right place to do that right now because that's just a lot. But I'm sure somebody's already thought about it. That's our homework for the next podcast. We have to find out if that's mathematically possible, if anybody's already started to do the math.
I'm gonna look it up after we pod. I'm gonna definitely look it up. Okay, Dane. The coronavirus pandemic is continuing to affect the sports world, and today it came out that 1 month after canceling the regular season, the XFL has suspended operations and laid off all of its employees due to the pandemic. Per ESPN's Phil Yates, XFL COO Jeffrey Pollock said employees were informed of the decision on Friday. NFL Network's Mike Garofalo added the XFL will pay employees through Sunday, but beyond that, it's unclear when or if the league might return. When the XFL canceled about a month ago, it said it was committed to playing a full season in 2021 and future years. This sucks for the XFL because this year I actually got a chance to go to a game. I went to the Renegades Houston Roughnecks game. It was fun, man. It was fun. And it wasn't, of course, how it was before with all the shenanigans and stuff like that. It felt like it was a legit It felt like it was a legit league that had a chance to be, of course, not a rival to the NFL, but to like be a supplemental league that and we already saw players get signed to the NFL. We saw PJ get signed from the Roughnecks to the Panthers. So,
and Kenny Robinson's probably gonna get drafted too. So
yeah, and it said it wasn't. I mean, it's not sure if it'll return. That would suck. I just think back to back, you know, times the XFL trying to come out, it's done after 1 year, but hopefully they could somehow turn it around. You know, Vince McMahon has a lot of money, so maybe it won't be affected down the road, but right now it's looking like it's not a good look.
Slim to none. Yeah, it sucks, but it was fun. It definitely was fun.
Switching over to basketball. The Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2020 was announced a few days ago. Headlining the class is the late great Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett. Also getting inducted will be Tamika Catchings of the WNBA.
Hey.
Kim Mulkey, Baylor head coach. And she is the first player to win a national championship as an assistant player and a coach, which is pretty cool. Barbara Stevens, Eddie Sutton, another college basketball legend, Rudy Tomjanovich, two-time NBA champion with the Houston Rockets, and then a couple of other, you know, award winners for media, Michael Wilbon, Achievement Award, Tim Nugent. So, Dane, what do you think about this class? It was rumored anyway that, you know, it was going to be, of course, Kobe, KG, and Duncan. So how do you feel about this class coming in?
I think this class holds some validity to it. I can't speak for any of the other classes, but it's pretty common. It's a pretty common theme amongst NBA fans that the NBA Hall of Fame is pretty much a joke because pretty much anybody can get in there. But the guys that you laid out, mainly, of course, you know, Kobe, KG, and was it what's that fool's name? The
Duncan.
I'm trying to think of his. Was it? No, it wasn't the big fundamental.
Oh, Mr. Fundamental.
Okay, yes, Mr. Fundamental. Who was the big fundamental? No, no, he is the big fundamental. Okay,
Fundamental. My bad. That's my bad.
I was like, wait a minute. Who was the big fundamental? It definitely was Tim Duncan. Well, no, I wasn't sure it was Tim. It was definitely Tim. Okay, so those three, yes, definitely. I don't have any issue with them making it, but the Hall of Fame is, I mean, you can't take anybody out that's already in, but it does, of course, lose its value when just anybody can get in there. But I mean, I like it. It's going to be an emotional celebration, of course. Definitely, you know, you don't ever want to memorialize someone just because, or prop someone up just because they, you know, passed away. But at the same time, you want to make sure that everyone gets to celebrate their night, you know, celebrate their moment. You don't want it to take away from anything. Because we see that happening a lot. And, you know, we hate that, you know, the death of someone brings everyone together. But at the same time, you don't want the death of someone to overshadow someone else's accomplishments or times that they want to shine as well.
And it's just
coming from a huge Kobe Bryant fan / Lakers fan. So I think it's going to be a great class. One to remember, of course, for sure. And it's highlighted with a ton. I'm sure the clips that they're going to use during the presentation, they're going to be starring matchups one another, because there are plenty of times where the Spurs went head to head with the Lakers, or the, of course, unfortunately, Lakers going down versus KG's Celtics. Was that back in 2007, 2008 when that was? And of course we came.
Yeah.
Stomped them boys out.
That was on TV the other day too.
Yeah. Good series. I think it's going to be pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, for sure. I happened to be watching when they were inducting, watching the little show, and Reese Davis interviewed Vanessa Bryant and Natalie. And it was tough, man. It was tough. Like, you know, she was showing emotion, obviously, and talk about how proud she was of Kobe. And, you know, she mentioned that, you know, he was waiting for this call. You know, he knew that he was going to be a part of this class, essentially. So, yeah, like you said, bro, it's going to be very emotional. Very, very emotional, but also a celebration of what he was, and equally everybody getting their opportunity to say thank you and, you know, reflect on their careers and stuff like that. So coming from a Baylor fan, also Kim Mulkey, she waited, you know, she's been waiting a long time, and she's obviously one of the greatest coaches to coach in the college ranks. So it's good to see her finally get
recognition.
Right, for sure.
Dead
so, the induction rubbish. Ceremony is scheduled right now for August, weekend of August 28th,
29th.
So, that'd be cool to check out. That'd be cool to check out.
Keeping it real. Oh,
switching over to nerd news, brother. The nerd news.
Put our glasses on for the nerd news.
Yeah, got to put our glasses up, pull our pants all the way up, our britches. We were waiting for this, Dane, and our last episode we were talking about possibly what we wanted was them to put the Black Widow movie on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But Marvel said
selfishly,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, we were definitely indulging our own wants and needs, but yeah, for sure. But Disney came and finally announced a pushback date for Black Widow, and that will be November 6th of 2020. And thus it pushed back the entire MCU timeline. They hadn't announced about the Disney Plus shows yet, like Loki, WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because the Falcon and the Winter Soldier was supposed to come out August of this year, to backdoor that Black Widow movie. But of course, I'm sure they're going to have to announce that pushback as well, because it's all supposed to connect and go off one another. So, Dane, do you have the new slate dates in front of you?
I do not. I can find them real quick, but
okay, go ahead and find that, because I kind of want to talk about the timeline backed up. I'm gonna start looking too.
So we have. I got you. Yeah, I got you.
Go ahead and knock down that timeline.
Run that back for you, Playboy. I got you, my guy.
Yeah.
So first things first, of course, you have Black Widow, November 6th, 2020. You have the Eternals, February 12th, 2021. Thor, Love and Thunder, February 28th, 2022. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It still has it for some time in the fall, which I don't think that's going to be realistic, but we'll see how that plays out. Let's see. What else do we have here? Let's see. Shanghai was pushed back from February 2021 to May 7th of 2021. Doctor Strange, of course, that was slated for May of 2021. That has been pushed back to November of 2021. Can't wait for that one.
Facts.
Thor, I did already say that one, but that one's for, of course, February 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Blade still didn't. We don't have a date for that one. The Disney
Captain
Plus series.
Marvel 2.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I saw that Captain Marvel 2 was announced finally. They hadn't had a date at all for Captain Marvel 2, and that they put it for July 8th of 2022. And I think that's right before Black Panther 2. But
I think we're still going to get the Falcon and the Winter Soldier in the fall
of this year. You think so?
That's what this website is saying. And then, of course, WandaVision has been pushed to the spring of 2020. Or not spring of 2020. Let's see. I don't know. These dates are vague. Mm-hmm. They're very vague.
I know they haven't finished filming. The only thing that's done filming is Black Widow. They haven't finished Falcon and the Winter Soldier. WandaVision's still in like post-production stuff. So, and now I know they want to go back and film. So I'm guessing that they're going to push back Falcon and Winter Soldier. But as a whole, like, I think, of course, and I think it's a disappointment, obviously, that we won't get Black Widow in May, but I think it's a good time. It's like, of course, the pandemic is horrible, but if it could have happened at any time, it'd be good to have it now, because, you know, we just ended phase 3. Mm-hmm. And now this is the start of a new phase. So it's like, okay, we've been waiting anyway. What's a few more months? And then just imagine, bro, and I know you saw the tweet about a couple of tweets about what if this pandemic happened last year around this time when we were waiting for Endgame to come out.
We would have been sick.
We would have died. Like, you know, it would have been crazy. So this happened for Marvel. This probably happened at the perfect time where, you know, they were kind of in their off season anyway. So, you know, it'll come out when it comes out. We'll all go to the movies to see it. We'll be hyped for whatever they tease, because that, to be honest, that's the most thing I, or that's what I anticipate the most when I go to a Marvel movie, is just like what they tease and what they, the Easter eggs and the post credit scenes and stuff like that. Yeah. So
the connectivity is what I yearn for the most, is how this film fits in with, you know, everything else. Not so much as the seeing the new content, but just piecing the puzzle together, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think I've asked you this, Dane, but out of all the projects that they talked about and stuff that's releasing, what are you most excited to see?
I'm seeing, because I love Doctor Strange's role so much in, or from Infinity War as well as Endgame, I'm curious to see their direction with him, not only because of his character, his story arc is fascinating, but because of the change in directors. And just how much, not control, or just how much meddling the mouse has in the films, like dictating what they have to have in there. The other night, James Gunn, who's the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy, he had live tweeted alongside many of the people on Twitter the movie,
quarantine watch party, man.
Yeah,
I love
it. So
I participated in a few, the first few, but I haven't lately.
Nice.
But go ahead.
Nice. Well, one of the things he mentioned was, or one of the questions that came up was basically how or who dictated what was put into the film. And he said, the only thing that the only thing that Disney said that I had to, Disney or Marvel, said that I had to have in the movie was introduce or include Thanos in it. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing. Everything else he had, the creativity, he had the, was it the freedom, he had the freedom to include whatever he wanted to. So I guess in my mind, I want to see how that plays out with the new director for the new, the Doctor Strange sequel. The
and it's Sam Raimi, right?
I think so.
Who was the old Spider-Man director, the Spider-Man with what's his name,
the original Spider-Man with the Tobey Maguire? Yeah.
Tobey Maguire. Yeah.
Crazy you got to say that, right? The original Spider-Man.
I know.
And I'm tripping. Crazy. Not Madness of Multiverse, the Multiverse of Madness. Sorry, I said that.
Bro, that movie is going to be insane.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy.
There were rumors that it was teetering a rated R rating.
Yeah. Well, that was when Scott Derrickson. Yeah.
With the old director, but this one, not so much. So I don't know. But
and that's supposed to connect with, that's supposed to be piggybacking off of WandaVision's show. Mm-hmm. So WandaVision, whatever happens at the end of WandaVision goes straight into Doctor Strange's movie, which is,
she's going to be in that. So
that's
going to be
it's about to get wild. I'm hyped for that one too. And just for me to pick another, I'll pick another one since you picked that one. I'm excited to see the, I'm going to go with the Disney Plus show, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Just because, and I know you don't really like to, we talked about it, you don't really like to read up on what the show may happen or what may happen in the show expect. Uh-huh. So I won't spoil stuff, but I'm excited because it's going to be a history lesson in this show, from what I've heard, as far as African American history, and I'm excited to see how Marvel deals with that. I like when Marvel tackles kind of like political type issues,
and social issues.
This show, right, and social topics. So they're supposed to tackle a few social injustice type things. So I'm excited to see how they'll do that, and I'm excited to see, and it's the first Disney Plus show, so I'm kind of excited to see how they bring their movie type thing into a show format. And I'm just excited altogether. So as soon as this pandemic's done and through and we back on our feet and all that good stuff and Marvel gets back rolling, it's gonna be legit, bro.
Another thing coming. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah,
that's weird that you have to say that. Looking forward to things being normal again, like it's so weird.
Yes, these are like Hulk said in Endgame. These are confusing times. These are confusing times.
That's true.
Um, Well, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes down in November when Black Widow kicks off. And then our final topic, brother, we are video game nerds as well as movie nerds.
Yeah, totally, man.
And once again, there is a next generation of systems coming out holiday season, hopefully,
of course.
This year. Like, we got to put hopefully and maybe on everything now. But the PS5 versus the Xbox Series X, and there's been a lot of rivalry and people picking sides, of course. Dame, you and I both have a PS4 and Xbox One.
Yes, we don't partake in these console wars.
You know, we don't. Yeah, yeah.
That's beneath me. I'll just get both and enjoy both of them.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel about everything. But, you know, everybody got to pick their side.
I mean, it's fun. It's fun to do it. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, why do it when I'm a walking contradiction having both of them sitting in my living room right now?
Like, right, right.
I ain't gonna.
Exactly.
Nah.
But the from what, and I, right now I'm looking at like the specs of both systems, and I'm not that type of guy where I know what every single thing means. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that I don't understand, but from people that I trust, as far as other friends that, you know, are system guys, they all seem to believe that what the Xbox Series X is doing or what they're presenting is kind of above a little bit what the PS5 has right now. And some of the things that I see, I mean, I'm looking at the chart as I'm talking. One of the things that I like, and Dane, you like too, is backwards compatibility.
That's the only thing I care about right now.
Right. And so I'm looking at both of them right now. And according to this, it's saying the PlayStation 5 will only be backwards compatible for PlayStation 4 games and the virtual reality games. Whereas for the Xbox, it'll be backwards compatible for the original Xbox, the 360, and the Xbox One. So that's three generations. So I'm giving that slight edge to Xbox.
Yeah.
And then it's for the storage for PS5, it says custom 825 gigabyte storage drive. And then for Xbox, it's saying 1 terabyte, which is larger than a gigabyte. So
right,
another advantage for Xbox. Let me see what else I see in here. These other things are big video type things that I don't understand, to be honest. But from the two things that I feel are the most important, storage and backwards compatibility, I'm giving the slight edge to Xbox right now. Well, have you had a chance to talk about, or not talk about, kind of see what's going on with both of them?
No, the only thing, like I said, that I was gravitating towards was the backwards compatibility, because there are a lot of titles that I enjoyed, you know, coming up that I don't get to play no more, or the only time I get to witness those is one by heating up warming up the Xbox 360, or going to YouTube and binging on a rabbit hole full of videos of old games I used to play. But the only other concern that I had was a tweet that I saw the other day, which it's very true, and a lot of people that are listening will be able to relate to it. But as graphics have gotten better, video games have pretty much gotten worse.
Yeah.
Certain
games have gone away and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And a lot of people, in particular in the sporting arena, that has been very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen, we're going to add some sweat droplets to the nose of Kevin Durant and you're going to love it. And I was like, no, I don't care about the sweat appearing on a player's face after shooting a single bucket. Like, I care about the actual gameplay. How does the gameplay flow? The AI of my teammates on the fast break, do they just... Yeah, let me not go into a tangent. But you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I got you. We're talking about this all the time.
And that's not so much to has... That has little to do with the consoles being released, and much more to do with the game developers and those entities that, you know, produce the games or build these games. That has more to do with them than the actual you know, consoles coming out conveniently the day before Christmas or something like that. So,
yeah.
Outside of that, one thing, I don't know.
One thing I hope with Xbox saying they can, we can backwards compatible Xbox 360, Xbox One games, like the games that I already have, I'm sure they will do this. Games I already have on Xbox One, 360, I want to be able to have that automatically or be able to download that on the new system without having to buy it again. Mm-hmm. You know, it should be able to easily, you know, streamline to this next system. So I'm sure they'll work that out. That would make sense, but who knows?
One more thing.
I mean, go ahead.
since we talking about stuff that we need, non-negotiables and stuff, we are in the year of 2020.
Yes.
There is no need, and it makes absolutely no sense that he can play a game online in a party with your friends.
Oh,
there is an existence of lag, rubber banding, glitching, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to call it. There is no excuse for that.
Yep.
That has everything to do with the server maintenance or the way that the servers are built, maintained. That is unacceptable. If I'm paying for a monthly fee to play online with my friends and I have the premium web package for my internet service provider, I shouldn't have to worry about the inefficiencies of being in the wrong place at the wrong time in a video game because your servers can't keep up with the amount of people that are on them. Like that's I ain't trying to hear that. So that's just another gripe. But that's neither here nor there. So sorry, didn't mean to go off on that tangent again. Apologies. I think I speak for everyone when I say about that. So
you're speaking to the people, and I'm sure some that are listening agree with you that things need to be fixed as far as connections, servers. We're in the year 2020. We should have efficient, consistent internet play and streaming play and stuff like that. And on another gripe, and from what I heard, this is more of a Sony type being stubborn, is cross-platforms on sporting games. They're starting to get it on Call of Duty and stuff like that. But cross-platform on sports games needs to be a thing. That would set the bar very high, and that'd be so legit. Because that would settle the debate on me getting both systems. Like, because I got friends on PlayStation side that I play with. I got friends on Xbox side that I play with. And having one system to be able to play everybody, save money, obviously. And it's just
stupid.
It just makes sense. You know what?
It's dumb. And Sony and Microsoft, if you're listening, hear me loud and clear. There is too much money to be made for this not to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that one more time. There is too much money to be made for this not to be a thing. Like we do have it on a few games. They have it on Call of Duty. They have it on some of your other battle royale games, the cross-platform play, but there's not enough of it. You're limiting yourself. Come together, join like Voltron and fix this and make sure that we have this. We have access to, because otherwise there's no reason for you to put out another system 4 years from now, 5 years from now, because you're still dealing with the same
issues. Yep.
Same issues and the same hurdles. Like you haven't successfully, there isn't a next level that you've reached yet. Now, once that backwards compatibility is once I can verify that that is legit, and you know, maybe there are some things that I don't know about within this next gaming system. Heck, there's probably a lot of things that I don't know about it, but you can't sit up here and try to advertise me a new ugly controller without me worrying about, no. The concern has never been the controller. The concern has been some of the bigger things with your systems that you're putting out. So cross-platform play, that's one of them, like you said. So I'm going to sit back in my seat because at this point I was standing up and it's making me uncomfortable.
Got it in your bag, so to speak.
Yeah, got it in my bag.
Yeah, we'll see. Holiday 2020 for both systems, I believe. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But Dane, that was a great, great show, my guy. What do you have planned for the rest of the day?
Probably go eat. That might be a good thing. Haven't eaten today yet.
Yep.
Then hang with the family. Finish watching this. We started. Well, not started. We knew that there were a few Pirates of the Caribbean movies that we hadn't seen. The last two we hadn't seen. So we watched number 4 yesterday, and the wife, she said she's done. So I'm watching number 5 by myself. So
I'll
do that. Build up this franchise. Cowboys, I've already traded away all the guys that I don't want. I've got about 15 first round picks from all the people I've traded away.
Oh yeah, you bored.
Yeah, I let go of everybody. Like, I got a new motto too. I'm not signing anybody unless they're a generational talent. I'm letting everyone go in their final contract and just re-upping 15 first round picks every time. Unrealistic, but I'm not doing anything that's cheating. I'm not crossing any cheating lines. I'm being 100% authentic. So goodbye, Dakota Prescott. Welcome, random 60 overall that I found in the free agency. So,
yeah.
Oh, and I got Antonio Brown. So, yeah. But that's all I'm going to be doing since eating and. Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you. If you're concerned or worried about, you know, working on stuff, just grab you a dumbbell or two dumbbells and do that. I grabbed a 20-pound dumbbell from Walmart, going back out today to grab a 40-pound to try to get these, you know, these pecs back where they need
to
be.
You're right. I've been wanting to I don't know if the pawn shops are open now, but I want to get a bike. I want to get a green and eye bike and go bike riding. I used to love riding bikes when I was younger, but maybe I can get one.
Or just go ahead and drop the money for it, man. If y'all just get really bored, there's a bike shop here in Cedar Hill. They sell actual bikes. We passed by yesterday. You might, I can just do a Google search for bike shops in Cedar Hill, and you can see if they have an online deal so we can look at bikes and prices and stuff like that. I'm sure they're cheaper everywhere.
I should get a brand new one.
It can be a project since, I mean, assuming y'all are bored, y'all can just get two bikes and y'all can both build them together or something. I don't know.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. What else? I don't know if you said what you got planned or if I've over talked to you. My bad for that.
You good. It's Friday. And like, I can go anywhere, but I joined a 2K league off this guy that I know on Facebook who happens to work for Baylor. He's like on the Baylor Athletics football staff, but I met him. He worked at Belton High and he used to play football at Baylor, but this league is overboard. It's like 26 people in it, and we did a fantasy draft with legends, and I got Chauncey Billups.
Oh, okay.
My starting five is Chauncey Billups, James Harden, Sean Marion, Amari Stoudemire, and David Robinson. It's a legit squad, bro. And I'm 20-5 right now, and I've beat a bunch of people in the league already.
Okay. Whenever you get back online, just stream it and text me when you got the stream up. I'll watch it if I'm not online, because I'm definitely down to watch that, especially David Robinson.
For sure, bro. It's fun. That's what I was doing on Xbox, and then PlayStation. I told you earlier I was playing The Last of Us because I did not finish that. So I'm working on The Last of Us. And then with my Baylor friends, shout out to Eric, Daniel, Fian, KJ, Terrence, and
the whole gang.
Andrew. Yeah. Terrence and Andrew aren't on the PlayStation, but we started there's a feature on FIFA called Pro Clubs. Where you create your own team, and then each player has their own player, and you compete against other teams online. So we have the Baylor Gang Football Club that we play.
Nice.
We won a division title in Division 10. So once you win a division title, you get promoted to the next division, but it's harder teams you play. So it was pretty fun. Did that, And you know what's pretty cool is Zoom, bro. So yeah. I hadn't seen them in a while, obviously. So we had a long Zoom hangout session, which was really cool. But
that's what we use Zoom for our Bible study, our Bible study group. That's what we use for it. So that's dope.
That's what's up. But if you're still listening, we appreciate you very much.
I forgot we was recording.
It's going to. Yeah, bro, this is authentic. Authentic. If you want to follow us on Twitter or Instagram, the podcast Instagram is Duo SNS Podcast, and that's also the Twitter one. And we're also on Facebook, the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast. And then my Twitter is at @DiepsRightSteps. That's also my Instagram. And Dane, what is your Twitter, buddy?
Mine is DaneBTX, and that's it. I don't have any other socials. Well, I have Snap, that's but that's it. Different. I don't
you catch Dane anything. on the Twitters. But yeah, bro, this has been a great episode. A lot of content, a lot of stuff to talk about. But we appreciate the listeners listening, and we want you guys to continue to be safe, practice social distancing, so we can get through this quarantine and get through this virus and bounce back and finish this year strong, man, because we want to watch sports, obviously, but we want to get back to a normal world. We want to be healthy. We want to be safe. We want to.
Well, we can go outside without the fear of getting sneezed on.
Right, right. And
cool.
Go to a movie theater and watch a movie. And go to a restaurant, have a date night with your significant other, all that good stuff. So, well, we appreciate each and every one of you tuning in and listening to however long this podcast episode is,
but we don't appreciate you if you haven't been practicing your social distancing. So take our appreciation.
What is wrong with you if you're not doing that? What is wrong? Get it fixed. Do better.
You heard what Samuel L. Jackson said. Stay your mother
at home. He a fool.
That video was amazing. I need to post that whenever I get a chance.
That is it for this episode. Y'all be easy, man.
All right, y'all be good and all that.